What I want to do this morning is circle back to the concept of comprehending God's love for us. Why is that so important? And why does love matter? Well, why does love matter? Because love impacts every part of our lives. It impacts our relationships with others, and it impacts our relationship with God. We have spent all day yesterday on the exhortation to extend that same love to others, haven't we? But why? Why is it important for us to extend love? Well, simple. Because God is love. And we were created in the image of God, and we are His image bearers. From the very beginning, Genesis 1:27, God wrote, "Let us create man in His image." Basically, we have been told and exhorted that we need to reflect God's nature and character to the rest of creation. And what is that image that we are supposed to reflect? Love. Because we know God is love. We spent the whole week. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and believe that the love that God has for us. For God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in us. That's foundational, isn't it? In seeking a relationship with mankind, it was God's love for us that drove Him to do it. It's all why we are even created. And I believe one way of looking at it is all God's attributes and characteristics that we have learned to identify of God is an expression that He uses to show us His love. Often we add God's love as just one of the characteristics of God, all in that long list. But what if the foundation of God is love, and then all His attributes and characteristics is the expression of His love? Think of it this way. God's attribute of holiness. Why is it important to love? Because it's God's love. It shows that God's love is the purest love that we can know. A love that's set apart from any other kind of love. It's the perfect love for you. And it's the only love that will satisfy your love's craving. The holy love of God. What about the attribute of an all-knowing God? Well, I don't know. He knows the best way to love you and express that kind of love. Why is He all powerful? Because He now has the power, the resources to make sure you know that He will accomplish all that He purposes for your heart and your life. It's an expression of His love. God is everywhere. Why? Because we want a God that's everywhere with us. He is everywhere expressing His love to you. Everywhere you go, doesn't the scripture say, "Where can I flee from your presence?" Nowhere. Everywhere you go, love is there. I like the fact that God is never changing. Why? Because His love for you, ladies, is never, ever going to change. You know, we're told that God is a jealous God, and that's an attribute of love. We need to be confident that He is protective in the love relationship we have with Him. He wants to make sure that nothing's going to get in the way of that love relationship. God is just in His ways of expressing His love, because sometimes love involves judgment. And why is God gracious? Why is He merciful? Why is He patient? Why is He long-suffering? Well, just look in the mirror. You need all those attributes and characteristics to show you His love you deserve. At the very core of God, it's love. God's love is on display. And then it's from the resources that God uses, even for us as image bearers, to show others God's love. We are then equipped to share God's love with others. Perhaps it's in knowing the power of God's love that will impact your life the most. You know, this love that we've been talking about is not just a warm and a fuzzy emotional feeling, although it's all of those things, right? The love of God is supposed to be the source of your strength for every day. It's from this relationship of love that we have that's supposed to affect us personally, how we think and how we process life's difficulty and how we relate to others. It's the love that's within us that God wants us to pour out to others. But God's love for us is also designed to activate something in you. It's supposed to empower you and free you up for some many difficulties that we have. That's why I say love matters. It changes our approach to life. How has knowing God's love for you changed your life? Is it changing your life? I often have stopped and pondered what it means to me to know that God loves me. Let that sink in. Have you ever done that? What does it mean to you, and how are you affected knowing that God loves you? You have a personal relationship with God. It's a personal thing for you. God's love is meant to impact you. And so I have done that because I have learned in my 50-some years of walking with the Lord that the secret for me, and I think the secret that's not so secret is God's love has power, personal power for you. For me, maybe some of these things apply to you. I believe that when I know God loves me, He has given me assurance of value as a person. I have found value because the God of creation has created me with some specialness. He understands me, and it's okay that I'm quirky, and it's okay that sometimes I'm misunderstood because He prizes me and He treasures me above all else. I think I was getting teary-eyed here. But God loves me, and I have found complete acceptance with Him. Complete. And you know what? That's that love that only God can give. To really find the freedom to be me. And that God loves me like that. And it gives me confidence in my purpose in life. That the way He created me has purpose and that He wants to use those things. You see, my daddy died when I was 10 and I needed a daddy. And He became my Abba Father. The kind of love that a father gives us. And I know many of us weren't exposed to the kind of father that we deserved. And it's great to know that our God can step into that void, even when you're a 50-year-old woman and need a daddy to sit on His lap. That God will wrap me up. God wraps me up and says, "You're safe, Kathy." I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm safe with Him. I'm intimately safe. He's not going to reject me. Even when I feel the rejection of other people. That God has set His armies of angels around me. And He's protecting me when I do silly, silly stuff. Leave my purses places. Unlock my house. Sandy just shakes his head. He's tried to change me. And He's given up. God's going to protect you. He's had to free up God to take care of me because He can't. I find great comfort and love when I know that God is paying attention to me. Sometimes I don't think people are paying attention. You ever been there? The Bible tells us He knows the number of hairs on your head. He's counting them when you brush your hair. Oh, she lost another one. Another one. Oh, no, more. He's keeping up with you so intimately. Why would the number of my hair matter to God? But it does. And it does because we can find reassurance that He sees me. And He knows me. He loves me. I am assured that God will use His unlimited resources to keep me protected and provide and give me the power and of His resources to bring about the purpose in my life. But often, ladies, I need to remember these things. I need to recall them and bring them to the forefront of my mind. I need to allow these things that God has impacted my life to impact the choices I make in my life. I need to remember that these things are what's going to help me in my life experiences, in my feelings, and in my emotional responses to life. And I want to show you how it's worked for me, and as a way of maybe it'll work for you, or maybe there's other ways. Love's power should impact you. And so this is kind of how it works for me. I often experience loneliness. It's just one of those things. I can be surrounded by people who love me. I know they love me, but I'm lonely. Sometimes I'm just lonely. And what I have a choice at that point is, what am I going to do when I feel alone? What do I do? And unfortunately, lots of times, this loneliness activates some personal insecurities in my life. All of a sudden, I doubt who I am. Do I have any value? No one gets me. Do I feel any worth? It's gone. I feel unwanted. Now nobody likes me. You know, it spirals. It does. You shake your head. I know it does. We've all been there. And often my heart can go into deep despair, all because someone didn't say hello to me. Something as silly as that, Satan can use to all of a sudden begin to make me doubt who I am. But it's then I have to make a choice. What will I do? Do I seek to change who I am to become people pleasers? To find acceptance in them? Or do I blame them? Well, if they only knew me, or they're just too busy for me. Why aren't they loving me the way I need to be loved? We do it. Or. When these feelings slap me upside the head, I can slap my brain into action. And one of the fundamental things that we have been taught but through the book of Romans, what Paul says, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Learn to know what's God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, and may I add, full of love for you. I have to take personal responsibility to renew my mind. I need to look again and change how I think when I am lonely. I need to activate the power of love in my life. I need to go to God in prayer and acknowledge I feel this day that way. God knows. I need to admit it. I feel lonely. But Lord, I want to recall your love for me. Because your love dwells within me, dwells within your spirit, I know I am not alone, that you're right here with me. And in my loneliness, it's your spirit that will give me and minister to my heart. I need to rehearse in my mind how much God loves me, that I'm accepted and fully valued. Pray, ladies, for a fresh awareness of God's love for you. You need to develop a spiritual awareness of God's presence in your heart and in your life. It's your love relationship with Him that's going to satisfy. He blesses us with these relationships, but this is the most satisfying one. Perhaps, ladies, that loneliness that you experience has been designed for you to experience, to grow in your love relationship with him. He wants to expand your love and grow in that love, finding that his love is enough for you to meet all your needs. I remember a really strong, a long time, a hard time I went through when I had to learn this concept. I went through a broken relationship that I had had for 3 years while I was in nursing school, and I just knew I had found the love of my life. But he wasn't. He was the love of my lust. He was the love of my need for acceptance. He was the love of validation and acceptance. I thought I needed someone else to say, "You're okay, you're good." We broke the relationship off mainly because I had met Sandy. And all of a sudden, I saw real love. Sandy didn't try to change me. He just loved me. But before we could really develop that love relationship between man and woman, we decided, or I decided, or through God's prompting, that I really needed to experience and know for sure that it was God's love that would meet all my needs. That Sandy would never be able to do that. If I always looked to him to meet all my love needs, he would fall short. And that's a horrible, horrible responsibility to put on somebody else's shoulders. So I had to go through a period of time where I just sought the love of God, and I just sat at his feet, and I just said, "God, love me and show me that through you I find my completeness." My source of love had to come from him. As a matter of fact, when Sandy and I finally did decide to get married, and we wrote our own wedding vows, and this strong lesson was so impactful that I added it to our wedding vows. And I promised my commitment, Carolyn, was from the wellspring of God's love. I will love you, Sandy. I knew I was inadequate to love unless I first was poured. God's love had been poured out in my life. I promised, and I had a confidence that God would keep pouring out his love. But I had to have I have to have now that same confidence that God's love is there. You see, when I look to God as my source of love, I now can be confident. I can now deal with loneliness as just an emotion that I experience. Noah, and not let it spiral, and realize the key is seeking God's love through his word and through worship and through spending time with him. You see, love has been designed to change us, to change our responses, to change our temptations and our weaknesses. God's love is supposed to impact you. Let's talk about weariness. Ever get weary? Ever get anyone else? Oh, you strong folk. I get tired. I get weary in well-doing. I do. Bone tired. And I'm probably going to be bone tired in a few hours. A different kind of tired, though, ain't it? But honestly, there's times where I just feel drained. And when I feel drained, I feel like God, that my life has gone out of control, that I am inadequate to keep up with it. I've got four married children. I can't keep up with them. I don't even remember their birthdays. And then I have 11 grandchildren. I don't even know when they were born. The older I get, I don't even remember their names. The last ones all start with M. Why would they do that to me? I mean, really, y'all have a Madison, a Maggie, a Mabel, and a Magnolia. I had to think about it. Maggie, yeah, four, all ma names. And it's just like, you know, let's have some chocolate. I just started. Anyway, I get weary. So what do? What's my temptation to do? Will I be influenced by the choices that I would like to make, that the world and behavior customs, or do I go back to what God says? Do I sit and binge on chocolate, watching my Netflix shows? I'm a reality TV show person. I would really like to do that because it numbs me. I don't have to face anything. Just give me a good, just, you know. Or, ladies, I can realize I'll be weary when I end that Netflix show. I will like the chocolate. The chocolate kisses. You know why we gave you kisses? Did anyone put that together? Did you put that together? Because God wants to kiss you. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And those were just kisses of his love. Yeah. Now you get it. There is nothing here that has not been thought about because I just love to visualize things. Anyway, I can think. I can either go and know that I might find temporary satisfaction in chocolate, or I can allow God to lead me into complete satisfaction and deal with my weariness. Psalms 119, 159 says, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to what? Your loving kindness. I was going to have you open up the word because lots of times you got to see it's really there. I'm not making this up. God says, I will revive you according, we are to ask according to your loving kindness. One translation says, revive me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. How are we supposed to find revival in our life? Or as the New Living Translation says, give me back my life, God. Give it back. Take it back. Help me. It says, according to your steadfast love. Remember, it's that revival. It's the love relationship, he's saying, that's going to revive you. God's love is supposed to affect you. It's supposed to revive you, knowing his love. And isn't it interesting, the psalmist here says, the steadfast love. It's a reminder. He wants you to call to mind that God's love is steadfast. It is same. It's immutable. It's immovable. It's incapable of change. His love for you is whole. It's pure. It's complete. God's love is steady. When my life is being shaked around and I'm feeling weary and like everything's falling apart, I need to anchor my life in the constant love of God. And I like how the word says loving kindness. God's love is kind. Lots of times when I feel weary, I beat myself up. You really shouldn't feel weary. I mean, what have you done? I mean, what do you got to do, Kathy? You know, you're retired and your husband takes care of you and works for you, has all the money. Well, limited money, but, you know. I beat myself up. I have no reason to feel weary, but sometimes I just feel weary. And God says, I understand. I'm kind in dealing with you and how you feel. God's gentle and kind. Maybe it always hasn't been kind when you expressed how you felt. People weren't kind to you. They told you to just pull yourself, get your act together. God says, I see your I see your weakness. I see you are weary. But I want to love up on you. I want to empower you. I want you to see that you can find revival in me. I like the word revive. I'm a nurse. What does that kind of make you think of? Resuscitation. That's exactly what that word means. God says, when you're feeling weary, I want to resuscitate you. And what is CPR and resuscitation all about? Breath of life. Activation of the heart. Isn't that what God wants to do? He wants to give you life through His Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you. You know, all those resources that God has to express His love for you, He's going to give you those resources too. You can count on it. He's going to give you that strength. All that power that He has is for you too. You can call on that power. God wants to help you in that weariness. He wants to be your steady eddy. He wants to anchor you. How about anxiousness? I'm exposing all my weaknesses here. Let's just get over with it, okay? If you relate to me, you do. If you don't, you know, you can go home and pray for that poor pastor's wife. She needs a lot of help. I do. I can admit it. I know my weaknesses. Anxiousness. Some of you are very good at this. I know you. You are natural born worriers. You should have that award around your chain. Number one worrier. Warrior. You are. You know you are. Shake your head, admit it. Let me tell you what. Your past approach on worry, how's it been working for you? How is trying to control every situation working for you? You've been able to do that? No. Oh, well, no, you can't. All the information in the world is not going to help you stop worrying. It's not. Not trying to step in and take care of it. It's not. It just confuses the situation. It doesn't allow God to be God. I say, renew your mind. What with what? His word. Remember, the power of His love is supposed to impact you. And one of my favorite verses on worry is found in the book of Zephaniah. Now, I would have you turn to that, but it will take you 15 minutes to find this little prophet. It's a minor prophet, but Zephaniah 3:17 was behind me. The Lord your God, the prophet said, the mighty one will save you, and He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with what? His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, what Israel was going through at this time, their anxiety and their worry was very valid. Often we worry about things that they had every reason to be anxious. And so God says, I want to help you with it. I know you're feeling anxious. The armies are outside and camped, and they're fixing to come in and take you into bondage. But no, children of Israel, no, blessed children, blessed daughters. As Zephaniah wants us to remember, God is there to quiet your soul. Quiet you. Shh. Stop all that inner talking. Stop all that active talking. Just, shh. Didn't Tracy tell us sometimes? Just be quiet. Discretion. Quit talking and just sit. Sit with God in your midst. Because God will never leave you or forsake you. He is always present and involved and attentive to your needs. Do you see that God's presence is there with you? I like how Zephaniah puts it. The Lord your God is in your midst. And then how does he describe God? The mighty one. See, love is an experience that you get to know him better. God wants to show up as a mighty one in your life. And so maybe you're in an anxious turmoil, you're worried. He wants you to see God is the mighty one. He is there to use all his resources to help you in your situation. Why? Because God loves you. You know, lots of times, the situation that you're worrying about is not going to change. The children of Israel still were judged and they were still taken into captivity. But ladies, their emotional state changed. How they related to God and to others. God was giving them an assurance and peace would follow. As a side note, did you notice it says, this is really a side note. I just couldn't help it though. It says, he will quiet you with his love. And then it says, he will rejoice over you with singing. God's got a love song for you. A perfect love song. He is so involved in your life. He's singing love songs to you. You're in the shower. Just quiet your ears. He might be singing a love song to you. Wouldn't that be cool to have a love song? Sandy and I have one love song that he sings to me all the time. It's Strangers in the Night. Exchanging glances. And at 43 years, we are still strange to each other. It just reminds us all the time that we're in a constant state of knowing each other. He still finds things that, and you know I do. I just found that really, I just really, he delights in you so much. He's got a song. And I think sometimes when we're anxious, we're always called to worship. Maybe you need to be drawn into the worship that he's singing about you. Wouldn't that be cool? I can't wait to get to heaven where he, as we've been singing, we have a new name. He loves us so much, he's giving a new name. That's a side note too. 2 Corinthians promises not just his presence, but he promises his peace. Become complete, ladies. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Renew your mind. For me, my anxiety often comes from the fears that I have. Again, I'm a fearful woman. Unfortunately, I deal with fear. Fear is sometimes the response that's either very real or very irrational in my thinking, but it's real to me. Fear actually has a response. Do you know your pupils dilate and your heart races and my breathing increases and you start sweating? And God's even given us this fear response of fight or flight that you know, your adrenal gland is working anyway. So how do you respond? You tend to fight, make every attempt to make what you fear go away. Do you always want to take control of the situation so that you aren't fearful? Or do you sometimes just hide? I'll go away. It'll go away if I just sit in my room and eat chocolate. I have a lot of chocolate. But you know what? Neither one of those are really the way that helps me deal with fear. You know, I think living in fear has exploded over the last few years. Our generation, COVID created fears. I looked up fear, which becomes phobias, and you know there are over 500 different phobias that are recorded, 500. And I looked it up, and you can be afraid of, and I'm not talking about just fearful of, but fearful to the point that you can't deal with life, to numbers. Now, I can understand being fearful of a spider. But that number didn't do nothing to you. But there are phobias for numbers. There's phobias for colors. Truly. It was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. I listed, there they are. These are a few of the ones. I like the top one. I'm not even going to try to say these things. The top one, the fear of long words. That's a real fear. I didn't put all those letters together. I think the second one is ongoing right now. It's an election year. Fear of Billy Buttons. Any outie? It didn't say. I embrace fear of that other one, that rhinototophobia. Fear of getting wrinkles. I've embraced mine because they have embraced me. But the saddest one was fear of falling in love or even being loved. Society, that's the people that need Jesus the most. And guess what the number one fear is? The fear. 25% of Americans polled say they had the fear of public speaking. Amen. I do. It's only by the grace of God. So what do we do with this fear? Do we focus on the situation or do we get it from God's perspective of love? Fear has a powerful effect on you. But let me tell you, ladies, love can be more powerful in you. 1 John 4:18, know it, memorize it, put it in your car, put it in your laundry room, put it everywhere. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has been delivered, has not been in perfect love. Ladies, perfect love casts out fear. The solution to the fears in your love is to have a renewed view of God's love for you that has been described here as what? Perfect. It's perfect. How God has chosen for the path of your lives to take and the situations that you must deal with are perfect. They're perfect for you because He has a purpose behind every plan. And His expression, ladies, is flawless. When you're going through fear, God's love is active and will show up. It will take care of you. There's power. There's power. I like the fact that Paul told timid Timothy when he was addressing this number one issue in people's lives, the fear of speaking. He said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. That's not. Fear and God are not incompatible. But God has given us a power, a spirit of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Paul is telling little Timothy, there is power. God has given you power to have a sound mind. Work backwards. God, I have a sound mind, right? I might be fearful, but I need to take my thought life captive. I, like Timothy, have to rethink this. I am perfectly loved and fully empowered and have a mind capable, listen to this, mind capable of self-control. You do. Despite what your emotions say, you must call on self-control because what fear does, it takes over. And God says, no, bring it back. Bring it back to my love. When I need to experience God's control, I will fear less. I won't have the spirit. Why is a love relationship with God meaningful? Because no matter what, I am perfectly loved. And when I can remember these things and fall into the love of God, fear will lose its grip. And why does fear have it lose its grips? Because I am now holding on to God. And God is holding on to me. When I allow fear to fester, it will rob me. It robs you. It's a robber. And usually it's right from the pit of Satan, but that's another topic. But oftentimes it leads to hopelessness. It can grip you. When you're fearful, you find yourself hopeless. And that's why Romans 5:3-5 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, what? Hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Are you getting the hang of this teaching now? Because what? Has been poured out into our hearts by the what? Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Lots going on. The characteristics that God wants to develop in us sometimes come in our tribulations, the perseverance of character. But the midst of tribulation, God wants to give you hope, because he says hope does not disappoint. The New Living Translation says, we know how dearly God loves us. Dearly loves us because he has given us his Spirit with his love. It's the power of love in our lives that gets restored. When I am feeling hopeless, I need to pour into God's Spirit to empower me, because God's love has taken up permanent residence in your heart through the Holy Spirit. If you are a saint, you have been filled with his Spirit. And when his Spirit is present, there is nothing lacking. But there's another translation of this that sometimes in our modern English, we have kind of softened it. We say hope doesn't disappoint. The old King James puts it this way, and hope maketh not ashameth. Why the old King James put that? Because really at the root of this word, hope does not put us to shame. Because this hope that God has is very freeing. Because I don't know about you, because sometimes I have heard the phrase, shame on you. In other words, I've brought shame to them. I've said to myself, shame on you, Kathy. How did you fall? Why did you not use discretion? Why didn't you do this? And I beat myself up. I feel shame. And shame, ladies, brings disqualifying to my life and my thinking. Because I have done, I no longer can do. It involves guilt. And what happens? I have now made a personal evaluation. I have now taken authority that my past is not forgivable, or what I've done is now not usable. I'm not usable for whatever. I have taken authority over what God has said he will do. Actually, you know what the root word of shame means? I love words. The root word of shame means disfigured. How do you view yourself when you look in the mirror? Do all you see is the scars that even you created? Do you see all the old marks of sin and the bad choices in your life? Do you feel shame for yourself? Sometimes the shame we feel is the problem, because it's a feeling. And hopelessness grows into disappointment and disillusionment. It grows into despair, and most tragically, it moves into being devalued as a person. And at that point, you are in your room with chocolate. And sometimes you don't come out, because that's where Satan wants you to stay. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he'll do anything, anything. He will go to extreme measures to thwart that. It's us that need to renew our thinking and draw attention to what God says is the truth. You can stay in bondage and shackled to those lies that Satan wants you to have, or you can allow God's truth to influence your life, to have power over you, to remember that you are forgiven, accepted, and made righteous before God. that you are now being treated just as if you'd never sinned, justified before God. Know that you've been so forgiven and empowered by God to be used, that He's now poured out His Spirit and giving you every spiritual gift and every spiritual gift in Christ Jesus. When you remember that, there is no shame, He says. He says, remove the shame, accept restoration. That's what God's powerful love does for us when we renew our minds with what? The Word of God. Not the ways of man or your old habits, the Word of God. And finally, ladies, the choices we make have ramifications. Just as that sweet lady that had the latte and a horrible, that was fine. Where are you influenced most to live your life? Paul tells us that his actions and reactions in his life was because of Christ's love. He had to give an account for why he was doing what he was doing. His ministry was called into action. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, he says of his life, and we need to say of our life, for it is the love of Christ that compels us. New Living Translation says it's God's or Christ's love that controls us. My sister was 2 years older than I, and she had difficulty in her maturing teenage years. And let me put it that way, maturing, difficult. She made choices and consequences that really weren't pretty. And what I remember most about those years is listening to my mother cry. The pain that she felt as a mother when they watched their children make those poor choices. You see, I saw the consequences and how it affected my mother. And because I loved my mother deeply, when I was faced with those same choices, I didn't want my mother to go through that again. It was the love I had for my mother that compelled me to say no. It's the same way. When we're faced with situations and temptations, is the love that you have for God and the love He has for you compelling you to make the right choices? It's supposed to. And that's the growing process. You're going to be learning that through the rest of your life. Things I did in my past, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, God has been so grieved. And He says, you're growing, Kathy. You're growing. I need to know and confident in God's love for me like Paul knew. That I am now powered up to be God's image bearer of love to others, because He first loved us. Paul's goal in life was to share the love of God. Paul had experienced what a real love relationship looked like. We know his history. He had done it all more than you guys have. And yet God had forgiven him and was using him. And his main goal, our main goal, should be sharing that love of God to the world around us. That's what compelled Paul. That's what he did everywhere he went to everyone he met. You know, often we did that WWJD, what would Jesus do? Here's a new one. How would God's love show up here in this situation? How does Jesus need to love so-and-so in this situation? How can I be the image of God and love to that individual? You know, real Christianity shows God's love. Real Christianity wants everyone to have a restored relationship with the love of God. Every Christian should be so full of the love of God, people see that the love of God has changed you. that you deal with things differently. You have solutions to these problems that we all deal with. Colossians chapter 3, above all what? Put on love. 1 Corinthians, we said the greatest of these is love. Love endures. God is love. Ladies, that's why we did this whole conference on why love matters. It matters not just to you. It matters to God. And it matters to the lost that God seeks to use you to bring into salvation.